Royal, Nebraska, population 81, where the church, high school, and post office each stand abandoned, monuments to a Great Plains town that never flourished. But for nearly 20 years, they had a zoo. 7 acres that rose from local peculiarity to a key tourist attraction to devastating tragedy. That story is told in journalist Carson Bond's new book, Zoo Nebraska, The Dismantling of the American Dream. Carson Bond is a freelance journalist from Nebraska who writes frequently about the Great Plains. Again, the new book is Zoo Nebraska, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
What brought you to present us this slice of small-town Americana?
Well, this was kind of the book that I was always attracted to myself. I am from a small town in Nebraska, not the same part of the state as Royal, but I think I just connected. I saw some of the characters in Royal, and they reminded me of people that I knew from my own upbringing, and I got lucky and happened to stumble upon this town one day. And it wasn't too far from where my wife grew up, and she said, oh, that's where Reuben got shot, and that sort of sparked all these questions. I didn't know who Reuben was. I didn't know there was a zoo, and I kind of fell into this rabbit hole of learning how this zoo got started and how it ultimately fell apart after these chimpanzees got loose.
Royal, Nebraska, population 81, and it is a Great Plains town, and it's obviously it has its issues. So tell us about this native, royal native, Dick Haskin, and what happens there?
Sure. Well, Dick Haskin was, you know, your typical farm boy growing up in a small town in Nebraska. And like so many people of his generation, he saw that initial Jane Goodall documentary that aired on National Geographic. And he immediately just became sort of obsessed with great apes. And he knew that he wanted that to be sort of his life's work. And so he headed in that direction. He went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and studied life sciences and a few other things, which was about as close as you could get to a primatology degree at the time in Nebraska anyway. And he shot for the moon, and he started applying all over to different, you know, regional primate centers. Turns out those gigs are very hard to get without a lot of firsthand experience already. So Dick struggled a little bit there, but finally landed at the Lincoln Children's Zoo and did become sort of known for being a great handler of the chimpanzee and orangutan at the Lincoln Children's Zoo. And he, not long after that, had a chance encounter with Diane Fossey, who was the biggest primatologist of her time. And so for this small farm boy from Royal, Nebraska to meet Diane Fossey was huge for him. And she actually offered him an assistantship in Rwanda not long after that. So there his dream was kind of reclining right out in front of him. And just before he was set to go, she was brutally murdered in Rwanda. And that's when Dick Haskin's life, you know, took a big pivot. He ended up going home with a baby chimpanzee in the bed of his father's pickup truck, setting up what he called the Midwest Primate Research Center there, just right off Highway 20 in northeast Nebraska. And, you know, over the years, that snowballed into a much bigger zoo and kind of goes from there.
The part of this story is a good story, right? Of how this, the zoo, and it transforms this town. They make it to Johnny Carson helps out, for goodness sakes. And
that's right, yeah.
And there's money that comes in. But then what happens? What is the, so that's the good part of the story. But then how is this small town able to, for want of a better term, screw it up?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, when you have an attraction like a zoo in a town of 65 people, I mean, the zoo was basically the only thing keeping Royal on the map. Most people only knew Royal because of either Reuben the chimpanzee or the zoo there. And so a lot of people in town, I think, started to sort of connect their own identity to this one attraction. And so that's when you start to see these uglier sort of universal themes cropping up, selfishness and greed and people trying to take control of the zoo board. And just, I think people started looking out for themselves and trying to take their own personal gain out of the zoo where they should have been all sort of working towards this common goal. So, you know, the zoo should have died two or three different times. And unfortunately, Johnny Carson in, you know, L.A., having never set foot in Royal or at the zoo, was sending money to a thing that probably should have just, you know, died.
It finally closed its doors for good in 2005 after four of the beloved chimps escaped and wreaked havoc on the town of Royal for hours. This is not funny. This was something that really terrorized the community.
Yeah, and that was, you know, the only time Royal has ever made national news was the day those chimpanzees got loose. And unfortunately, when you tell a story like that in a one-paragraph snippet in the New York Times or Time Magazine or whatever, it just becomes this little novelty item. And so from the very beginning, I understood that a tragedy like that in a town of 65 people probably had much deeper consequences than just this novelty item. And so, you know, the zoo, people were so familiar with those chimpanzees, you know, they were their neighbors. And then one day they wake up and three out of the four of them are lying dead in the dirt. You know, it was tragic for a lot of people, and especially for Dick Haskin, who founded the zoo and raised Reuben the chimpanzee, you know, the star of Antelope County from birth. For him to arrive at the zoo later that day and see the closest thing he had to, you know, a child was, yeah, it became much less funny than I think it was maybe initially perceived in some of the national media.
So in the 14 years that has passed since that happened, what has transformed and what has happened in the town? How present is that story in the town now, and you going in to cover the story a decade and a half later of what you found along the way?
Yeah, well, I mean, no one until my book came out had really told the full story. And I think when I first started to cover it, when I started digging in, I think the summer of 2009, you could tell that there was still this underlying tension in the community. It felt like the whole town had just kind of bottled up this story and hadn't really released it since then. And so, you know, Dick Haskin himself refused my interview request for 8 years until he finally changed his mind. And there were other people in town who had the same initial defensiveness about them. So a lot of people didn't want to talk about it at all. Other people, you could tell enough time had passed that they were ready to open up. But yeah, it felt like the timing now was right. Maybe it was far enough removed, but it took a while. You know, and it also took, even after the chimpanzees got loose, you know, it took another 5 years for the zoo to finally, you know, be judicially dissolved. And so even after the zoo was done, there was still a lot of backbiting in town and infighting, and just it got really sloppy there for a while.
Obviously, and I only ask this question because I hear it a lot, which is even in our coverage of talking about various things doing having to do with animals, is even using the word zoo is loaded, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it started, Dick Haskin's intentions really were pure. He hoped to take a chimpanzee home and continue some primate research, but truly Dick did not have the education or the training for that. He also hated zoos, which is one of the ironic things about this whole thing. He always hated zoos and never wanted to run one and found himself in the position of doing just that. But yeah, to call this place a zoo is probably a stretch. It, you know, menagerie gets thrown around a little bit too. It was essentially just a small highway attraction.
So when you think about ultimately what the story tells us, it tells us a lot about small towns. It tells us a lot about our relationship with wild animals. And I guess I'm curious as to what you hope people get out of it.
Well, I always said that if I thought this whole story was that unique to Royal, I don't think I would have been interested in covering it for 10 years. But you know, I see the same struggles and challenges in Royal that I see in my own hometown of Broken Bow, which was 3 hours west of there. I see it in small towns all across the country. You know, it's probably naive and idealistic to think that some of these small towns are going to crawl back to their glory days. But I do think that we need to remember that, you know, no matter what happens, you have to be working towards a common goal there at least. And I think that's just where Royal fell apart. You know, Royal wasn't about to become some huge metropolis and have its glory days back, but it could have, I think, staved off some of its issues a little sooner. So,
the name of the book is Zoo Nebraska, The Dismantling of an American Dream. The book is published by Little A, and it's a great pleasure to have Carson Vaughn on the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Very nice to have you. Again, the name of the book is Zoo Nebraska by Carson Vaughn. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.